Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and greetings to everyone, all of our listeners.
All the way from Wildwood, New Jersey.
That's right, yeah.
Father's going to do our show.
I died and went to heaven.
There you go. We're going to do the show and then get some R&R.
A couple of days.
Yep. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thanks you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support. Kept us on the air for some 40 years now. We ask you to continue to do what you can, especially in these trying times. As things may be getting more expensive, anything that you can do to help us is certainly appreciated and even more appreciated now, because I'm sure there's other things you could be doing with your finances, but supporting this great radio apostolate and allowing us to air shows like today's is certainly needed and appreciated. So thank you for all that you do for us. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website. Or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign, and she can put you in touch with Father or I. Reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel Church, the corner of 29th and Dickinson, in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Come on down on any Tuesday between 9 and 6. That's Tuesday and Thursday. And pay Matt a visit. You can visit the Cathedral of South Philadelphia, St. Gabriel's. And if you get in touch with us before you come down, we can make arrangements to meet up with you, perhaps give you a little tour, and we can talk about Matt Talbot with you. We'd love to have some folks come down. We've been announcing this, Father, I think, for going on 18 months now, and I don't think we've had more than a handful of folks that have come down. So especially as the holidays are approaching, whether it's Thanksgiving wouldn't be the day to come, right, that Thursday, but over Christmas, if you're going to looking for something to do, by all means, come on down and visit the shrine.
What was that, AOH group? Ancient Order of Hibernians might come down as a group, Ken?
Hopeful. Yep. Absolutely. The one on Emlyn Street there in Mount Airy, Division 80. So we responded to a letter that they sent this week, and looking forward to setting something up for them to come down. If you have any group that wants to come down from your parish, young or old, if it's got to be in the evening or not Tuesday or Thursday when we're normally open, by all means get in touch with us, and as long as we can accommodate you, we can we'll work something out to get the church open and get you in there, especially during the week, as long as it's not a Tuesday night. So
and it was a blessing for Amy Stoner's group there, was it Mercy Hospice? When they came down, they really seemed to be really touched with Matt Talbot and looking at the church and all. And then we had that service for those who had died during the year with overdose deaths, although they're really being poisoned. But and that nice banquet we had, Ken. And they found out a lot about Matt Talbot then. So a lot of blessings from the Cathedral of South Philly there, as we say.
Absolutely. So if you have any questions or want to learn more about it, just get in touch with us. Again, the best bet is the Our House Ministries, all spelled out, ourhouseministries.org. And we'll get right back to you and work something out. All right, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is a prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, Make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful,
departed
through the mercy of
God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show, so anyone can call in today. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, because when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the past few weeks and you care to share it with our listening audience, we would love to hear from you. So we'll give out the numbers again before we go to that break at the bottom of the hour. We are currently in the 31st week in Ordinary Time, and the saints were feasts that we celebrate this week. Yesterday, the 1st of November, of course, is All Saints Day. Today, the 2nd, the commemoration of all the faithful, also known as All Souls Day. Tomorrow, the 3rd, St. Martin de Porres. On Friday, the 4th, St. Charles Borromeo. And on Saturday, the 5th, is St. Peter Chrysologus. So, we thought we were going to spend the show today talking about All Souls and All Saints. And to get us started, we thought we would read the first reading from Scripture that was heard at Mass today. It's taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men indeed they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation they shall shine, and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. The word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. And, so today we celebrate the church suffering. And I guess it sounds kind of odd to say that we would celebrate that. But, thank God, first of all, for God. And we also thank him for this place that we call purgatory, that gives us an opportunity to work out all those things that we haven't worked out while we're here on earth, and still have an opportunity to go to heaven. We need to be pure to get there, and we can try as hard as we want and do all the right things, and may still have some deep-seated resentments or prejudices or something still within us when we leave this earth, and aren't quite, which would make us not quite ready for heaven. And so we have a way station where we're guaranteed heaven. We can't sin anymore, and given an opportunity to work out those things that we weren't able to work out while here on earth. And so we celebrate those that are in purgatory. They can't earn their way out. There's nothing they can do to get to heaven. It's all through the mercy of God and our assistance, whether it's through prayer or deed. A lot of simple things you can do, like praying every time you drive past a cemetery, the prayer of St. Gertrude that many folks pray every day for the souls in purgatory. And some of them are even our own loved ones. And, you know, I'll be joined in the 5 o'clock hour, not until halfway through, by Susan Tassone. We usually have her on every year right around All Souls Day. She's doing an EWTN gig for the first half hour in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to call us as soon as she's done. And, you know, always talks about making friends with the folks in purgatory because, you know, if you think about it, if you're the one that offers that last prayer that gets them from purgatory to heaven, you're going to have a friend for all eternity. Once those souls make their way to heaven, they can remember us, whether they're family members or complete strangers. Some of the prayers that we offer, even our Calyx meeting, you know, we pray for those that have none on earth to pray for them, those closest to heaven and those furthest down in purgatory. And we don't know who they are, but that's who we pray for. And when we join them in heaven is probably when we'll get to find out. So today we set it, the church sets aside a day to talk or to pray for and remember the church suffering, those souls in purgatory.
Yeah. You know, that reading is so beautiful and powerful. The souls of the just are in the hand of God. No torment shall touch them. Chastise the little, they shall be greatly blessed. And I think there it is, Ken, chastised. You know, it's really a cleansing. It's a purification. It's not so much like a punishment, but it's a step up from this life. Like you said, that the souls in purgatory, they know they're going to heaven. It's like they passed all the tests, and they're waiting for that diploma, you know, on their way for that graduation there, you know, where they see God face to face. But just chastise a little, you know, that cleansing. I think about, you know, people, we need to go to purgatory if we're still stained and soiled. I remember Father Groeschel, he said he was looking forward to purgatory. I don't want to go to purgatory. I want to do it here. I want the Lord to take care of it right now. Purify my soul, prepare me. I want to answer those prayers of his, you know, be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, and be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy, all by the grace of God. You know, they're the mystics, the contemplatives. They've already died, you know, the first death, and you know, they died a mystical death, and that second death will never harm them. They're just kind of transition right into heaven. But, I think, if we're, out there, I don't know, mopping floors and scrubbing or digging ditches or something, we're kind of, dirty from that kind of work, and we're going to a wedding feast that night. Where I'm not going to go to the wedding feast right from after I dug the ditch or mopped the floor and scrubbed the floor. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get showered, put, you know, deodorant, perfume, you know, put my favorite clothes on. Now I feel comfortable there. That's pretty much purgatory. It's just cleansing us, preparing us to come into that wedding feast, you know, with our baptismal garments that are not stained anymore, that are cleansed clean by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I always remember the story, Ken, with my father. And, I have so many, you know, as I look back at my childhood experiences, today I really spiritualize it all. But my father, you know, he was always threatening because we had these empty houses in the neighborhood. Don't go into those empty houses or else. And sure enough, I went into one of these empty houses, and I remember falling down the steps, and these fleas swarmed upon me. And I'm running out. They're all over me. And I'm running home. And I'm crying out to my father, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And he's outside the back, and he has a hose. And I go into the yard, and he strips me down. And he takes the hose, he puts soap on me, shampoo on my hair, and he just hoses me up and cleanses me. And then I'm thinking I'm really going to get a beating or something, but no, you know, I remember I'm getting, you know, sitting down, he put new clean clothes on me, and it's a cheesesteak. I always remember the meal, cheesesteaks, french fries, Pepsi Cola. It was like, you know, and I think about that with God in purgatory. You know, we hear these threats, like, you know, but it's like, gosh, we hurt ourselves when we go away from God's will and we do our own will. And we need that cleansing, you know, because we are getting ready for this, for this banquet, you know, of eternal life. And, and you know, I keep thinking it's a cleansing. And yet, you know, we're so wounded. You know, our humanity has been damaged. We're soiled. We have a fallen humanity. And I think about also with my father, with when I would get splinters in these empty houses and come home, and there'll be pus coming out of my thumb. And Dad would take a needle, turn on the gas range, hold it over the gas range to purify the needle. I'd be scared to death. He would sit me down at the kitchen table, give me a towel to bite on, and he would start digging to get the splinter out. He would have the tweezers and the sewing needle, but he had to get it out. And every once in a while, you could see that it's hurting me. But I could see it was even hurting my father. He would say, bite down on the towel. It has to get, I got to get this out. He says, and when it's done, you're going to get ice cream and all. And I kept biting down. Sure enough, he got that, got that splinter out. And I think about these splinters that are in us, you know, these capital sins, you know, Pagels, pride, anger, greed, gluttony, envy, lust, sloth, they got to come out. And, you know, they're deep in us, and only God can get them out. We can't get them out ourselves. And I think about, you know, when a doctor, you have a tumor, and, you know, you have the anesthesiologist, they put you to sleep, and the doctor goes to work, and he cuts the tumor out. Because we can't do it. And Jesus is the anesthesiologist. He's the surgeon. He's the doctor. And he gets it out. And in purgatory, it's like this this place. God is there. The Blessed Mother is there. I think of the line, you know, that I keep bouncing back on. I'm the vine and you're a branch. And apart from me, you can do nothing. What makes us think in purgatory, I'm going to cleanse myself? Jesus himself has to take care of me. And he will. And I would have to let him do that, you know. But it is this cleansing. We're chastised a little, but we're going to be greatly blessed. This is our Heavenly Father getting us ready to see him face to face. And to see all that purity, I too must be pure. But, you know, purgatory, a step up. And the people in purgatory, they're guaranteed heaven. I remember Holy Family Home Ken was a woman. Said, I can't wait to go to purgatory. It's what you said. I can't wait. I said, how come you can't wait to go to purgatory? She says, well, I won't be sinning anymore. I won't be offending God anymore. To me, purgatory is a contemplative state. We're receiving. I know there's two kinds of schools. They say souls in purgatory can pray for us. And I believe the second school, they can't merit. We pray for them. And when they get into heaven, they will be praying for us. But I really believe it's a receiving state. It's a contemplative state. That's why the mystics who were deep contemplatives, the Lord was already burning them out, burning out all that selfishness, that self-centeredness, burning out that ego, you know, because we can't do it ourselves. But God does all that wonderful, beautiful work for us, and we just surrender and let him take care of us, Ken.
Yeah, and I really appreciate what you were saying about, you know, trying to work out as much as we can here, if not everything, and aim for heaven. Got a good friend that, you know, would always say that he was aiming for purgatory. And that's okay, but what happens if you fall short? So we, you know, we aim for heaven. If we fall short, then, you know, the fallback plan is purgatory. But if you're aiming for purgatory, there is no fallback plan, or at least not a good one anyhow. And so,
You know, like the traditional form of purgatory where we were brought up, like this is fire, you know. I, for one, am not thinking that my loved ones are like in some kind of frying pan popping around like some kind of Mexican beans. I believe it is fire, but it's that kind of fire that the apostles experienced at Pentecost, that those fiery tongues, or the burning bush that didn't consume the bush, or the fire of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, it's that fire that cleanses, that purifies, that takes care of us. And again, I don't really believe in a time element, because there's no time once we die, and there's no physical suffering once we die. You know, our bodies are dead. we don't feel pain, but if there's pain, there's this emotional pain, you know, this suffering of I'm longing to see God now. I can't wait to see God. It's this longing for Him. But I really believe it's more intensity, Ken, than a duration, that when we die, that what happens is that I remember the matinee movies in the afternoon. You go in the movie, and when you would come out, you were blinded by the darkness because you were in the darkness a long time and you couldn't see. But if you went into that matinee during the sunshine and you forgot something and you came out, and the light, it wasn't too much of an adjustment because you weren't in the darkness that long. So you come out and it's a quick adjustment. So my point is that if you're not that serious of a sin, like really severe sinner, that the intensity is not going to be as intense. But if you've been living sin in your life and you're repentant and you want to get there, then you're in that darkness for a long period of time. Of course, you're coming into the light of Christ. And so there's going to be an intense moment where we're really purified. So I see purgatory more like not so much time, but not duration, but really intensity according to our sinfulness. And that light of Christ that really shines on us. And it's a bath. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the cleansing of the Lord. So, you know, there's so many different schools and speculations of what purgatory is. We don't even know what heaven's like. We can speculate on it. All we know, the eye hasn't seen nor has the ear heard. And it's the same about purgatory. Yes, there is a purgatory. We need purgatory. Thank God we have a purgatory because only the pure of heart are going to see God. I don't know, like our Protestant brothers and sisters, if they don't believe in purgatory, what happens if they die and their souls are stained and soiled? You know, how are they going to go to heaven? But this purgatory, this cleansing, chastised a little bit, they shall be greatly blessed because God found them worthy of Himself because of who we are, Ken, God's children. We're not our sins or shortcomings or character defects. And that will all be taken care of. That foreignness that stains us will be removed from us. And we'll see ourselves the way we'll see God, in that very image and likeness of His. I always like that story when I come up and I see the beatific vision. I look at God and I look at my soul. I say, Father, I look like You. He says, of course you do. You're in my image and likeness. You're my eternal child. You know, but we have to be cleansed. We have to be purified, made ready to see what eye hasn't seen or what ear hasn't heard, the glories that are in store for us, Ken.
Yeah. The priest that wrote the Surrender Novena, Father Delindo Ruotolo, wrote a book on purgatory. And in there he talks, you know, you were saying that we don't know what heaven is like, and I think we can imagine what God is like, but no matter what you imagine, it's going to be so much greater than anything our imaginations can come up with. And, you know, and what he says is that once we meet God face to face, that we're going to want all that stuff. We're going to desire all that stuff to be, you know, burn out. And again, that whether it, not necessarily by fire, but that intensity that, maybe it's going to be like surgery without anesthesia. I don't know. But however God is going to manage to get that out, we're going to desire it. And so it's not, to your point, not something that we should be afraid of. And by all means, you know, try to root that stuff out why we're here. I mean, that's why we're given this life, to work out our salvation now and not in purgatory. And, you know, we've been talking about the saints now for 6.5 years on this show. And there's plenty of examples out there of people that were able to do it. And now, it doesn't mean that every saint went directly to heaven. Far from it. I'm sure that there were, you know, there may have been things we weren't aware of or what have you, even if it was a small prejudice or resentment that they may have had that they had to work out. And but we firmly believe that they're in heaven, and the example that they left for us of how to get there is there for us to learn about and not necessarily emulate. We're not supposed to be, you know, exactly like Saint Patrick or the Blessed Mother or any of the saints. God wants us to be who we are, but to use perhaps some of their practices, the amount of time that they would spend in prayer, frequent confession, daily communion if you can, or, you know, at a minimum at least once a week. But all these things that are offered to us and the examples that we've been given, you say it all the time, you know, we don't have any excuses anymore. You know, we're not going to be able to go face to face with God and say, well, I didn't know, or nobody told me, or, you know, any of that stuff. And that's when, you know, that it's going to get real, and it's going to get real, real quick as to whether or not we've been on the right path and been trying or not. And, but the beauty is that even if we haven't been trying to work it out here, that God, I believe, will still give us that opportunity, that last gasp chance to accept His hand and accept His mercy, and still make our way to heaven. May have to spend a little bit more time than others in purgatory, but we can get there.
Yeah, you know what you were saying, the eye hasn't seen or ear heard. Nobody knows what that's really going to be like, but we have a taste, Ken. It's like if we can take all of our Christmases and Easters, you know, you have your children, you know, the births of your children, baptisms, weddings, graduations, you know, all those moments that were so exhilarating and ecstatic, you know, of peace and joy and happiness. We'll pack it all together. Pack it all together. And it's greater than that. You know, we're talking about the Powerball, right? $1.2 billion, the Powerball. Well, we've already hit the Powerball, you know, at baptism. And we have a down payment. We have the Holy Spirit. And we should start living like spiritual millionaires, because we're not on our way to Harrisburg to collect. We're on our way to the kingdom of God and to see Him face to face. And it's like, wow, you know, do we know where we're going? Do we know who we are? Gosh, do we know who made us? It's just, you know, it blows our minds to even try to fathom this. But a lot of people, you know, we're not thinking about heaven. I was thinking about John the 23rd. You know, when he had difficult times and the struggles of his papacy, he was always thinking about heaven, about paradise. That kept him going. I don't know if we really think about that. Do we know where we're going? You know, do we know that we're going to see him face? And we're afraid to cross over because I got to die. I'm going to the death. You know, it's like I'm afraid of that. But there is no death. Jesus Christ destroyed death for us. And to trust in him, and to cross over that. They asked the little flower, are you afraid to die? And she says, no, I'm curious. I'm curious, too. What's that going to be like, that the eye hasn't seen and the ear heard? It's something to prepare for. And as Pat Kennedy gave me that one line that one time, life is short. Enjoy it. Eternal life is forever and ever and ever. Prepare for it. We already hit the Powerball. We're billionaires. You can't put a price to this. Where we're going, oh souls called to these grandeurs and created for them, what are you doing? How are you spending your time?
Amen. A lot of the Stewardship Mission Gospel Reflection groups, and I was going to say men's groups, but there's one, our parish, there's a group of women now that are doing the same thing, and the booklets of prayers that they have, there's a prayer in there from Pope Clement the 11th, and at the end of it, it talks about the final four things, heaven and hell, death and judgment. And, you know, I've read in multiple places how important it is to meditate on those things daily if we can, because if we're thinking about that, it's going to keep us from doing things that are going to prevent us from getting to heaven. You know, if we're thinking about our death and preparing for our death, if we're thinking about whether we want to go to heaven or hell, thinking about standing before God at our final judgment, that I think we'll behave a little bit differently. We'll think a little bit differently if those things are forefront in our minds.
Yeah.
So that just about brings. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe I'll just end with this. When I was in the Salesians of St. Bosco, St. John Bosco, my first year as a seminarian, and I went over to St. Charles. But every month, at the end of the month, we had to set a day aside, and we had to prepare for our death, and we had to get in the frame of mind that this was our last day to live in life. And it really put things in perspective, you know, that, and we don't know. This could be the last day of our lives. We don't know. But to live every day as it is your last, and be ready, be prepared. And to be close to Jesus, who's always with us. I used that line the other night that's been sticking with me. Again, John the 23rd. What counts the most in life is Jesus Christ. His gospel, his church, his sacraments, his truth, his goodness. That's what counts the most. Does it count that the Phillies win the World Series? Yeah. And the Eagles? Yeah. But that doesn't count the most. Or I hit the $1 billion lottery? Yeah, well, that thing doesn't count the most. What counts the most is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our God, who's with us always until the end of the world, who comes to me in the confessional to purify my sins in confession, who comes to me at Mass in the Eucharistic presence to be with me, to give me real food and drink, to nourish me on this journey home to the Father, to the Father, to the Father, Ken.
Amen. All right, that brings us to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a break. We want your phone calls, especially if you had an honor God that you want to share with us. The phone number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, we don't have any phone calls yet. I'll give out the numbers one more time. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. While we're waiting for some calls, I'll give you a quick update on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." We get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We begin at 6 p.m. with adoration, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday, we move from our own chapel over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have our Matt Talbot Mass and benediction. Things still get started at 6 o'clock. We have an hour of adoration during which we hear confessions and pray some prayers through the intercession of Matt Talbot, followed by Mass at 7 o'clock. The third Tuesday in November will be November 15th. So it'd be great to, one of these days we want to make get that church packed with people. We pray for all those that are struggle with addiction, those that are in recovery, and all their family members. And I don't know anybody today that doesn't know somebody that's struggling with addiction, whether it's in their own family or extended family or you know, friends of theirs who are either addicted themselves or have children that are in the throes of addiction. So come on down and join us again. That's on the third Tuesday in St. Gabriel's Church, but every other Tuesday we're in our own chapel, all right there around 29th and Dickinson. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's, we get together on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for the 8:30 a.m. Mass and then have our Calyx meeting afterwards. The meeting in Glenside this month will be on November the 19th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown gets together on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow night, November the 3rd. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And they will meet at the end of November, on November the 26th. And the unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then a Calyx meeting following. They will meet this month on Saturday, November the 12th. And then every Wednesday, St. Matthew's in Wilmington, Delaware. I go down and visit my friend Sheila and join her for Mass at 6 o'clock, followed by a Calyx meeting. Again, that's St. Matthew's in Wilmington every Wednesday, 6 o'clock Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And again, I'm going to be joined around 5:30 today by Susan Tassone, and we'll continue our conversation about the souls in purgatory. And, well, Father, that killed a couple minutes, but still no calls. So everybody must be out in the cemetery celebrating All Souls Day or something. Nobody's got an honor God. How about you?
Listening, you got to take that. I don't. I mean, it's all honor God anymore, though, right. You know, Ken.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's like that holy boldness, you know, to pick up the phone. But I'd like to give a shout-out to Debbie and Paul McLaughlin. I hope they're listening for their little cottage that I'm sitting in right now. And just the respite that I receive in North Wildwood, and you know, have my little Mass kit. Some days I'll get up early, you know, and go to Mass at Our Lady of the Angels here, or I'll just sleep in and get a rest and get my Mass kit out and have a private Mass. And I just want to thank Debbie and Paul for the opportunity to be in their little cottage. I feel like a monk in the cell, Ken, and the rest. But thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Paul. Your little cottage.
All right. Patrick, can I share the otter god from last week?
So that's a good one. Yeah.
So I had shared at a Calyx meeting a week ago about listening to one of Father Blunt's videos on YouTube, and he encourages people to pray all 20 mysteries of the rosary every day, and to limit your intentions of the rosary, and perhaps if you break it up into four rosaries, limit the intention for the rosary to just one thing. And so I've been trying to do that. Some days I get all four in, other days I don't, but it just so happened that last Wednesday we had come out, and we ask for prayers all the time for Patrick's sister. She's struggling with cancer and getting treatments and some hurdles that she's had to overcome. And one of those hurdles last week was that she's not in the immediate area. So to get her back and forth to treatment is a hike for Patrick. And they were hoping that she would be able to get transportation to treatment. And so last Wednesday when we were here, Patrick was sharing with us that, you know, that the transportation wasn't getting approved and that he was going to have to, you know, drive from Philly down to South Jersey and then get his sister to treatment. And I just mentioned to Patrick, I said, you know, I'm getting in the car and I'm going to say a rosary on my way home, and I'll offer it for your sister. And Patrick shares with me the next morning that it wasn't long. We leave here a little after 6. I think it was 8 o'clock that night. He got a text message saying that transportation had been arranged. And that's the quickest anything has ever happened from one of my prayer intentions. And we were kind of I was kind of chuckling last night. I know people that, especially like you and Kathleen and others, that, you know, it sometimes it seems like you got God in your back pocket and, you know, asking you will receive. And it's one of the my prayers always get answered, not usually in the way I expect them to. But as quick as that turned around, it was like a reinforcement that, you know, God does listen and that there are ways for things to be worked out. And however he does it, whether it's putting a suggestion in somebody's mind, working through our guardian angel, however it is that he works these things out, is just miraculous. And, you know, for a lot of people, they're miraculous. Like you were saying earlier, Father, everything, you know, is odd or God these days. And so it is. So these things that others may think, you know, are miracles, for some of us now, they're just everyday occurrences. But you got to have your eyes and ears and, you know, your senses attuned and look for them. And sure enough, they'll come about. So I thought that was pretty cool. Gave Patrick a break, and hopefully his sister, you know, gets the all the treatments that she needs going forward. So, Otter God.
Yeah, Otter God is right. And I think also that inspired you to just to keep praying more rosaries, you know. And that's what I said last night. Say one for me, Ken.
Yep. Amen.
For my intentions. It seems like you got God in your pocket.
Yeah, well, we'll
He answers all our prayers, that's for sure.
Right.
What's the four answers to prayers? Yes, if it's good for us. No, if it's not. Wait a while. That's the third one. And the fourth one is, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So how many people are asking to win that $1.2 billion, you know, God would say, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's not.
We need Mike McLaughlin to call in and say it. Are you kidding
me? There you go.
Yeah. But, no, he does. And it's funny, we got a family group chat that started back in the early COVID days. And you've said it, I've said it, a lot of people have talked about, you know, God always answers an email. And apparently one of my nieces or nephews just heard that for the first time in the last couple of weeks. I think it's been around for quite a while. But they were all talking about how, you know, oh, that's awesome, and, you know, and how great it is. But it's true, you know. It's absolutely true. So.
Yeah, that's why I keep repeating my sayings, because a lot of people haven't heard them, you know. But you guys, you've heard it over and over and over.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. Doesn't hurt to be reminded.
That's right, because we hear the same gospels over and over, and it's always different, always different, because we're different. We're always changing. God never does, but we do.
All right, well, today we celebrated the commemoration of all the faithful departed. Yesterday...
Yeah, could I just maybe end with, you know, souls in purgatory? I think you want to go into All Saints. Is that where...
That's where I was headed, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to kind of summarize it all. You know, we can all have different theories about what purgatory is and things like that. But I have to tell you, Ken, my homily at your mother's funeral mass, that's my theory of purgatory. Now, when we die, you know, we probably, all of us are so far off of everything, you know, but my theory of purgatory is when I was with the Little Sisters of the Poor for 21 years, and I was there present at the hour of death, and watching them die. Watching them reaching, smiling, talking, you know, like right there, you feel like you're in this room of God's light, this radiance that's happening right in front of me. And I've seen this over and over. And it's that last breath again, Ken, that I think about that last breath all the time, where my first time that I was with the little sisters, it was a sister, Patrice, that was dying. And she was really big with the divine mercy. And she died at 3 o'clock. And I remember I thought she was gone with the last breath. She reached up, looked over our heads, smiled, fell back, and I started the prayers, Eternal Rest Grant to Sister Lord. And, you know, all the nuns kept quiet because I would say 40 seconds later, sister takes another breath. And throughout the years, I've seen that again and again. What is this delay? You know, what is this breath? They stop, you think they're gone, and another breath comes, or another two breaths comes. And my theological hunch was that who are they looking at when they reach for someone and they're fixated above our heads? I really believe it's the Blessed Mother. You know, all those Hail Marys we pray at the hour of death, Mary is right there. Those Hail Marys are fulfilled. And so John Bosco speaks about seeing the Blessed Mother at the end. I think John Paul II, when he said, I have looked for you and you have come, that was the Blessed Mother. Or, you know, St. Bernadette of Lourdes seeing the Blessed Mother at the end. So I think what really happens, we come out of our bodies and we stand with the Blessed Mother and we look up at our dying body and it's Jesus Christ crucified right there. And it's so personal that his words, those last seven words, are fulfilled for us. Father, forgive Douglas. He didn't know what he was doing. I thirst for Douglas. Douglas, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Douglas, this day you will be with me in paradise. I thirst for Douglas, Father. It's finished. The victory shout. We won. And then Jesus takes the last breath. Because if we believe in him, we never die. He dies our death. And so when I'm looking up at Jesus Christ, Ken, at that moment, his precious blood is falling down upon me. He's cleansing me of all my sins, and I'm seeing who I really am. I'm seeing how much that I'm loved, that I'm really his brother, we're really his sister. And I'm standing there and with Mary, and I'm watching this great love, for God loves the world so much, he gives us his only begotten son. Whoever believes has eternal life. It's already begun. We already hit the Powerball. You know, whoever eats my body, drinks my blood, has eternal life. And here's the fulfillment of it. And I'm looking up at it, and this to me is purgatory, because I'm being cleansed. I'm seeing all my sins go before me and being cleansed and this chastisement a little. And then he takes the last breath. He comes out of my dead body. Between those hearts, I turn around. There's all the loved ones waiting for us, God the Father, you know, the angels and saints, paradise, the wedding feast. And to me, that's purgatory, Ken. Now, I may be way off, you know, but I can't think of a better understanding what purgatory would be like. But it has to be with his precious blood that Jesus Christ is going to do it for us, because I can't do it, you can't do it, he can do it, and I'm going to let him do it. Destroy my dad, forgive my sins, and transform me into his very image and likeness. Now I'm ready to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because I'm purified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Purgatory. What a wonderful step up, Ken. Yeah. It really is. People in purgatory, they know they're going to heaven. St. John Vianney said, it's better to pray for the living than for the dead, because the dead, the souls in purgatory are guaranteed heaven. The living, not so. So pray for the living too. Well, most of my masses are always for the faithful departed. But, you know, every once in a while I'll get a mass for someone that's living, and that's important too. Like you said, it's church suffering, church militant, church triumphant, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. That what really counts in life, Ken, is Jesus Christ, his Amen. Gospel, his sacraments, his church, his goodness, his truth, the way and the life, home to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah is right. And that, you know, your description of those last two breaths, I've shared that with so many people over the last couple of years, and the comfort that it brings to them, and especially when they see it for themselves after they've heard about it. And that happened with my brother when we told him about it, right? Because I think he had left when we did the prayers for Mom before she passed, and then we'd share with my brother about those last two breaths, and he was there when Mom passed, and sure enough, he experienced just that. And so I know the comfort that it brought him, knowing what was going on, because the same thing happened with my grandmother some 25 years ago, and you know, he didn't understand it then. And and didn't know about it or to look for it. And so it makes a huge difference. And like you said, whether it's 100% accurate or not, there's something that goes on in that those final 30, 40 seconds there. And
Even in the last hours, Ken, I know when I went up and see your mom, she had the Christ eyes. I couldn't see your mother. I saw Jesus Christ crucified in your mom. And it was like for those 21 years, I would see Jesus Christ crucified in those residences. And like I didn't even have to go to the chapel to make a holy hour there, you know, in front of the tabernacle. That it was like seeing Jesus right there, saving this soul, you know, a real presence there. You know, you think about the incarnation, that Jesus Christ becomes, you know, man at the word of Mary, let it be done to me, as you say, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then at the Eucharist, the priest calls down the Holy Spirit at the Epiclesis, that this may become the body and blood of Christ. And there's a continuation of the incarnation in the bread and the wine. And then we receive the Eucharist. And then we're transformed into Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, this is just so powerful. This wisdom that we're given as we get older and we see this, that, you know, we're called to become God by participation, to live forever like God. Like Augustine says in John of the Cross, that God became man so that man may become God and live forever, immortal, like the angels. Oh, souls called to these grandeurs, what are you doing? How are you spending your time? Oh, wow, you know, the Powerball, boy, when we see him face to face and see ourselves as we are and as he is in all eternity, in that glory, you know, words fall short. We bank the dictionary. We bankrupt the dictionary. We stretch the human, that language. The mystics trying to talk about, you know, what's in store for us, Ken. But, yeah, you know, I just see, you know, those 21 years were so precious to me. I would just put my hand on them, be like touching Jesus, saving that particular soul. So it's just not the last breath. It's from baptism, Ken, all the way through life, that he's always there, taking care of us. He created us in a personal way, God the Father. He will save us in a personal way. We don't get lost in the crowd or the herd. It's all so very personal. Amen.
Amen is right. All right. Well, we only got about 7 minutes left. So yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of All Saints Day and really got started around the 7th century. There were earlier celebrations, 4th century or so, of all the martyrs. But it was Pope Boniface IV, after the catacombs had been plundered a number of times, he gathered up 28 wagon loads of bones and would reinter them beneath the Pantheon, which was the Roman temple dedicated to all the gods. So he rededicated the shrine as a Christian church. And according to Venerable Bede, the Pope intended that the memory of all the saints in the future be honored in the place which had formerly been dedicated to the worship, not of gods, but of demons. And so we believe that this was originally in May, and that the Eastern churches, they still celebrate their All Saints Day in the spring, perhaps in the Easter season or around Pentecost, whereas here in the Western Church, we continue to celebrate it every year on November the 1st. And that's been going on since the year 800 or so. So All Saints Day, where we celebrate the church triumphant, those that either went directly to heaven because they had already worked out their salvation, or those that made their way to the purgatory and got things worked out and managed to make their way to heaven already. So All Saints, we celebrate every year. I remember as a kid, you know, we used to always look forward to it because Halloween was the night before, and it was always an off day from school. And it's interesting now, a lot of the parishes, the schools, they make sure the kids come in on the holy days because that way they can guarantee that they get the Mass for the holy day of obligation. So a little bit different today than it was back in our day, huh, Father?
Yeah, really, Ken. I was thinking, was a sister, a nun, she had her class in church, and they had all the stained glass windows, and the sunlight is shining through all the saints, like the apostles and Peter. And sister says to the class, who can tell me what a saint is? Little boy stands up and says, looks up at the stained glass window with St. Peter and says, a saint is someone that God shines through. And that's a saint. It's a new light from heaven. And, you know, we have this light in us, can all of us do by baptism? You know, and our Lord talks about that light. You are the light of the world. You know, take the bushel basket off yourself and let that light shine through. And that light is not an electric light. It's really the light of truth, the light of faith. It's the light of peace, the light of joy, the light of happiness, the light of forgiveness, the light of compassion, the light of love. You know, this is what shines through. Like, we're already divinized. And when I participate in all these virtues, I'm participating in God himself. Because I don't manufacture anything that's good. It comes through me, but not from me. And so when I look at the lives of the saints, I'm seeing Jesus Christ, his risen life, shining through them. And we're all called to be saints. And the way we become saints, you know, what did they do? They have the same means. We have the same means that they had. The same Blessed Mother, the same saints, and we even have more saints today. We have the same scriptures, the same Eucharist, the same sacraments, the same devotions, the same holy water, you know, the same rosary, you know, morning prayer, like bookends, morning and night prayer. Call on that holy name of Jesus. Be devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary like the saints. Pray that holy rosary. Receive the sacraments, especially confession and Eucharist. Visit the Blessed Sacrament, adoration. But, you know, saints would always, they were pulled to the passion of Jesus. That 5 minutes of meditating on his passion was worth hours of other devotions, you know, spiritual reading, you know, the sacramentals. We got all the means. So if we don't become saints, blame no one but ourselves, Ken. And I'll just end with this story. I think we're coming closer to the end. You know that a saint is someone who God shines through. You know, it's a new light from heaven. And take the bushel basket off us, you know, the egos, the self-centeredness, my way, you know, or the highway. And just be humble. Be humble and let God give him permission to take care of us and to shine through us. But I end with this story. The little girl, it's her father, and then she comes up to her father and says, Daddy, you told me that God is really big and he's huge and he's everywhere. But Daddy, you also told me that God lives inside me. Yes, honey, sweetheart, that's right. He's big, he's huge, and he lives inside you. Well, Daddy, if God is so big and huge and he lives inside me, shouldn't he be sticking through me? Ken, shouldn't God be sticking through us? Shouldn't God be shining through us? That new light from heaven, because he lives in you and me and all of our listeners by virtue of our baptism. So let the light shine. That's what Jesus said. Let your light shine before men that we can give glory and praise to our Heavenly Father.
Amen. Just real quick, I have a quote in front of me. I happened to write it down. I was listening to a podcast talk about a theologian that Bill Wynn turned me on to, that Rene Girard. And he's got a line where he says, in order to develop spirit, you need to catch fire from someone. And how true that is. And how, you know, sometimes we don't realize that we can set people on fire just by, you know, sharing our own faith with them. So with that, we've reached the top of the hour. I just learned that Susan Tassone is going to join us closer to 5 o'clock than 5:30, so you'll want to stick around for that. And, Father, can we get your blessing?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Ken. Thanks. God bless everyone.
You too, Father. Get the rest, pal. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, pal. Bye-bye. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be back right after the break.